The fact that I'm doing so means that I believe that the order, that the movement, has a future. This is not to say that you will necessarily have an easy time. You may well encounter a good deal of opposition. Buddhism itself may well encounter a good deal of opposition, not just to the FWBO. In the Buddhist world as a whole, Buddhism is on the decline. It's been on decline for nearly 1,000 years, as I've already explained. Only in the West and India, broadly speaking, is it part of a rising wave. But if that wave is to keep on rising, whether in India or in the West, it will have to struggle. It will have to work very hard. The FWBO will have to struggle, will have to work very hard. And in particular, the order will have to struggle, will have to work very hard. You will have to struggle, work very hard. In India, you will have to struggle against the all-pervading influence of Hinduism, against the relentless pressure to Hinduize Buddhism, or at least to Hinduize Buddhists. Struggle against the pressure to put you back into the caste system. In the West, you will have to struggle against what I've called pseudo-liberalism, against some aspects of New Age ideology, against the attempts to mix Buddhism with Christianity. You will have to struggle against materialism and consumerism. And this means that often you will have to stand alone. You will have to risk unpopularity, perhaps even persecution. But people don't like unpopularity. People like that others should like them. They want to be in with the crowd, so they are tempted to compromise their principles, their ideals, even their Buddhist ideals. And you, very likely, will have to face that temptation. Perhaps you are sometimes having to face it even now, in the present, from time to time. But if the order, if the movement is to have a future, you will have to resist temptations of that kind. You will have to be true individuals, not afraid to be in the minority as Buddhists, not afraid to stand alone as Buddhists. You will have to have the courage of your convictions, the courage of your experience and your insight. So far, I've spoken only of opposition from without. But there is another kind of opposition to be faced, another kind of danger, one that is even greater than the dangers coming from outside, and that is the danger from within, better to say, from within the order. And that danger is, in a word, disharmony. It's not enough that the order is a unified order. It has to be a united order. It has to be spiritually united, united in its common commitment to the three jewels. Human beings being human beings, there will always be differences of opinion. There will always be personality clashes, but these should be resolved as soon as they arise. Resolving them should be an absolute priority. Which does not, of course, necessarily mean that we should just go on talking about them. Talking sometimes merely prolongs the conflict. Sometimes it is best simply to intensify our practice of the Dharma and leave the problem to look after itself. As order members, you are, in any case, making an effort to rise from effective going for refuge to real going for refuge, And that is the real solution to the problem. If a sufficient number of order members achieve real going for refuge, or even make a genuine effort to achieve it, there will be harmony in the order. If order members are in harmony, if you are in harmony, the order will be strong. It will be able to resist both the dangers from without and the dangers from within. But more than that, if the order is spiritually united, if it is in harmony, then a truly wonderful thing will happen. The order then will be the locus for the manifestation of the bodhicitta. As you all know, we sometimes liken the order to the 11-headed and 1,000-armed Avalokiteshvara. I believe Subhuti referred to that great figure, that great symbol, last night. But, so to speak, it's not just a manner of speaking. It's not just a figure of speech. We should take it very seriously, even take it literally.